John, the defence has been excellent all year. What do you think the reasons were for that second half collapse at Featherstone last week? Obviously, you've had time now to analyse the performance.
We really have, yes. We've been in depth with it, to tell you the truth. I mean, the early part of this week's really been reflecting and reviewing and analysing that. And obviously, the major thing that came through was they had nine sets and we had nine tackles within that last 20 minutes. But that doesn't mean to say that you just cave in and allow the opposition to score on a regular basis. The other thing was we didn't really make them work for the tries. They scored a lot of their tries as they were bringing the ball out from their own end. Yardage sets, as we call them. So it was just too easy. And we've looked at the reasons for that and we've certainly attempted to rectify that in practice.
Just be speaking to Jordan Lilley, he's mentioned that you haven't really had to give them too much of a telling off because they've been in at tongue yesterday, going through their self-appraisals, you know, a lot of honesty amongst the player group.
Well, that's the word. We want to be honest with each other. I was honest in my comments to the players after the game. I was honest in my comments to the media after the game. And the players have certainly been honest with themselves, with each other and with the coaches. So when you've got people like that, you know you're on a good footing. We know it wasn't acceptable and there's nobody knows it more than the players. And we know we've got to attempt to make sure that that does not happen again whatsoever during my tenure here anyway, because you don't mind getting beaten when you feel as if the other team's played better than you. But when you've given them more than a leg up, you've given them a leg, an arm and a head and whatever else is up, you know, we really did assist them in their ability to beat us. They played well, but they weren't 38 points better than us.
Does the Challenge Cup this weekend come as a welcome distraction then away from what has happened last week?
It does, mate, yeah, because we can look back at what we've done wrong, attempt to put it right in this one and hopefully attempt to get some success this Sunday, and that will obviously stand us in good stead then for, first of all, the 1895 Cup on the Wednesday and then obviously the Batley game, which is back to the bread and butter of Championship Rugby League after that.
We asked you after that Featherstone game, John, how you're going to motivate the players. Well, it sounds like the players are motivating themselves, but we know prior to the win in the last round against Leeds, you held a meeting on the Friday. The players were given a blank sheet of paper and a pen and they were asked some harsh questions and a couple of players got emotional.
Yes, they did, yeah. But I mean, you know, that was something for that particular game because of that particular circumstance of the game. And there are other themes that we're using this week. And obviously the players will become more aware of them as the week unfolds. But as you rightly pointed out, the early part of the week was looking back. Now we can enjoy looking forward because the line's been drawn in the sand. We can enjoy looking forward and we can enjoy using our theme in order to prepare us for the Halifax game on Sunday.
It's going to be the fourth time you've played them since January, if you include the Yorkshire Cup. John, you both know a lot about each other.
Yeah, and they're a good team. You know, we know they're a very good team. And I think they respect us as a rugby league team as well. So we know full well if we're going to have any success, we've got to come ready to play. We've got to really take on board what we're going to suggest as the game plan. We've got to execute as well as we possibly can, and we've to do it with an energy and a desire that befits the occasion. And the occasion is a quarter-final of the Challenge Cup with a massive prize at the end of it, obviously the last four of a Challenge Cup. The first time a Championship team's been in the last four for 13 years, so they can make a bit of history should they achieve that, and that will obviously be the goal.
I was just going to ask about Hulkingston Rovers in 2006, John, the last side to get to a Challenge Cup semi-final from the Championship. It shows the Championship in 2019 is a great competitive competition.
Very much so, yeah. Well, in all honesty, you can take the Challenge Cup as a benchmark, but you've only to look at the game, yeah. I mean, Toronto and Toulouse are pulling away. Yes, we accept that. But the six clubs then vying for three spots, and that's how tight it is, and it's how difficult it is to get into that top five. And obviously that's why last week was a real kick up the backside and very disappointing. But you've got to look forward. There's still enough games for us to get in there, but we've got to play well to do that. But it's really good to have this knockout scenario, this trapdoor rugby to come up with this week to hopefully get us back on track.
And it really feels, John, that Bradford Halifax, they've put a bit of magic back into the Challenge Cup this time around.
I agree with you. Somebody asked me if the cup had been good for us because we'd obviously played so well in it. I replied that I think we and Halifax have been good for the cup because obviously they've knocked London out, a Super League team, with a great performance. We knocked Leeds out, a Super League team, with a great performance. So I think we've a combination of clubs, we've added to the magic, but obviously the fullness of the fairy tale is which team's going to get in the last four. Well, hopefully it'll be us.
Home advantage on Sunday, that's going to count for a lot.
Massive. Yeah, it's massive to tell you the truth, Mick. And, you know, when we were under the cosh against Leeds, when we were rocking on our heels against Leeds, that chant came out, you know, come on you Bulls, which sings around Oxford. And we just need that again, because at some stage, I hope we're going to give a great account of ourselves, but at some stage we're going to be under the cosh. That's what happens when you're playing other good teams, and Halifax are a good team. And we would require that to help us dig deep and to inspire us to come through the other side. So I would appeal to everybody, get down here, really get your shouting voice out and get behind the Bulls.
And obviously the supporters that were in that 10,000 plus crowd against Leeds, they've got fantastic Challenge Cup memories. What are your emotions leading into this game, John, because obviously you're steeped in Challenge Cup folklore?
Yeah, well, it's another opportunity to write history, isn't it? You know, it's a big game, no doubt about that, with a big prize at the end of it. So that's why we have to make sure we play well, and that's why we have to make sure that the occasion inspires us as well, so that we're on point and we perform to the maximum of our ability.
In terms of Joe Brown, he didn't play against Featherstone. I believe the registration was not in time. Is that correct, John?
That's correct, yes. So that should have gone through now. And he isn't cup tied because he hasn't played in the cup for Wigan or his loan club, London Scholars. So he'll be available. And obviously one of the debating points that Gareth Carvel, Lee Beattie and Mark Dunning and myself are having as to the makeup of the 17, and we're trying to weigh everything up so that we get it right, because it's a big game, so we've got to attempt to get it bang on. But obviously Joe's part of that thought process.
In terms of the side, John, Jake Webster, Dalton Grant, Ross Pelty, Rowan Mills, they all missed out last week. Are any of them going to be in contention for Sunday's game against Halifax?
Well, we're hoping that the majority are in contention, yeah, because Ross certainly will be, because he's recovered from his illness. You know, he had a sickness and diarrhea illness on Sunday, and it just drained him of all energy. So happily, he's overcome that now. The doctor was really good, and he's overcome that, and he trained fully on Tuesday. The others have got a chance, but obviously we've got to monitor them and monitor their reaction to the training load that they're given. So hopefully they'll all be there, but you know, you can't count your chickens before they hatch.
One player who definitely won't be playing, definitely ruled out, is James Green. Have you got an injury update on James?
He's going for a scan on Friday, so we'll find out the exact prognosis on Friday. But obviously it's a pretty serious knee injury that he picked up. It was from friendly fire, you know, it was Colton who went into the collision and mistimed his collision, and he cleaned James out, and it just went against his joint. So, you know, James is pretty down at the minute. But obviously, once you've got the clarity of knowing the correct diagnosis, you can then say, right, it'll take us this long to get him right, and he'll require this, this and this in order to achieve that. So Friday's a big day for James.
And with potentially Jake Webster, Dalton Grant featuring on Sunday, that's going to push the, no offence to Dalton and Jake, but it's going to push the average age up, John. I think in the final 20 minutes against Featherstone, the average age was just over 22 years, probably the youngest side that you've put out this season.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. And, you know, it reflected that, didn't it? You know, you do need youth, and you do need that energy, enthusiasm and naivety of youth, but you also need there's at times as well, you need the calming influence of experience. And yes, I agree with you, we probably missed that on Sunday.
And John, the club have just announced, Jordan Lilly announced he'll be at the club till the end of 2021. A great announcement, well received already on social media amongst the Bulls supporters. That's going to allow the club to have a bit of cohesion and, more importantly, consistency in that half-back role.
It is, yes, and we just need to make sure we tie the other one up as well, don't we, Rowan, so that we'd have a great half-back partnership developing. But Jordan just fits our profile completely. What we're trying to do with this great club is to rebuild it in a very sustainable manner and allow it to evolve and improve. And that's what we're trying to do with the playing squad. And you can allow players to evolve and improve and assist them when they're on the right side age-wise. And Jordan's obviously a young man with great potential, already a good player, but I reckon in the next couple of years he'll become a great player.
Are you aware of the role that you've played, John, in improving his mental health? Because I sat down with Jordan and he admitted quite openly that when he come here last year, he was in a bit of a dark place and ready to walk away from the sport of rugby league.
Yes, he was. Well, all he needed was somebody to sit down, speak with him and support him, and hopefully we did that. And I think we've seen the rewards of it as well. And the fact that he's remained loyal to the Bulls, because he had other callers coming, you know, and some high-profile callers within Super League, but Jordan remained loyal here, and I'm absolutely delighted he's taken our contract offer up, and I think he'll be very, very, very important for us over the next couple of years as we continue to evolve and grow.
And that's a message that's been resonating from Andrew Chalmers from the top down, being loyal to the cause, loyal to the club.
Very much so, yeah, because, you know, you provide people with opportunities, and when they take their opportunities, you're really pleased, but it's nice as well when they say, well, thank you for that opportunity, I'll stay with you, I'll help you grow and improve. And that's what Jordan's done.
And John Bastian's decided to leave the club. John, obviously the club will look to appoint a new head of youth, but what can you say about John Bastian?
Well, John Bastian's tremendous. He's absolutely, he puts the structures, the systems in place so that you can identify outstanding young talent, and he puts the systems and structures in place so you can develop that young talent. And I think you've only to see the number of Bradford Bulls homebred players within the squad to see the work that he's done, along with people like Mark Dunning and Lee Beattie and Robin Sharp. So it will be missed, and he's contributed greatly, and I got on with him great personally as well, so I'd like to wish him well for the future. But obviously what it does, it opens up a position and it allows someone new to come in, someone new with different ideas and perhaps different emphasis, and it might well benefit us in the long run. But at the minute, all we can do is shake John's hand, wish him well. I'm certain he'll make a success of his job at Hull Kingston Rovers, but I'm also certain that we'll continue to progress in the youth department at Bradford Bulls.